Okay, welcome, everyone. This is the meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. It is November 18th, and we have everybody here today, so we're excited to get started. So we will begin with a moment of silence. Okay, do we have any announcements?
I'd like to make one, and that's...
Go ahead.
That's this board stuck with Stu and me for another 4 years after yesterday.
Well, congratulations. So. We're very happy about that. Want to keep the group together.
That's right.
I see there is something up on the screen. Are we to announce that?
I think we'll have that announced during the public comment period for items not on the agenda.
Okay, very good, thanks.
I did want to make one announcement. I passed out the cover sheet for the agenda packet for our sub-regional workshop for the Integrated Regional Water Management Program group. And we will be meeting here at the Vets Hall tomorrow morning from 10 to noon. And let me get my notes. Some of the stakeholders in the North Coast region are the city, of course, City of Morro Bay, Cambria CSD, San Simeon CSD, Los Osos CSD, the Natural Estuary Program, the various water companies, the Men's Colony, CSA 10 and 10A from Cayucas, Camp San Luis Obispo, County Parks, and various other groups, NOAA, the North Coast Farm Center, the Ag Waiver Monitoring Group, Green Space, Monterey Marine Sanctuary Program, the Hearst Corporation, and future groundwater sustainability agencies. So we'll be meeting here to talk about the 2014 IWRM plan that was adopted by the county, and looking at our sub-region goals for water, including water supply, ecosystem and watershed, groundwater monitoring, flood management, water resources, and communication. So if you have an opportunity, stop by the Vets Hall. It'll be kind of a workshop style setting. The county is actual lead on this group. I'm there hosting the meeting, but it'll be run by the County Water Resources group out of their public works section.
Okay. So the public is invited?
Yeah. Public is invited.
Okay.
And it basically deals only with the groundwater basin, not the state water or any of the purveyors.
We might touch on state water a little bit, but it's mainly
the groundwater.
Mainly groundwater and surface water in our sub-region.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any other presentations? Announcements. And no presentations. So we will open public comment for any items that are not on our agenda.
There's one public out there.
Yes, there is.
Two.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Nancy Castle, talking about Thanksgiving again, the shameless taking advantage of TV time. I didn't remember to bring one of my own hats tonight, so I'm wearing my son Roscoe's fedora, so just to keep it all in the family, so to speak. And we are a family in here in Morro Bay, and we're going to have a marvelous meal Thanksgiving Day from 1 to 3 at the community center. It's the full-on turkey dinner, turkey stuffing, gravy, cranberry sauce, yams, and fresh vegetables is the menu. We are going to have a hokey-pokey circle outside. A person volunteered to run that. And my son, with Fedora will be singing sea chanties, and Pirate Steve will be out there in full regalia and possibly meeting another pirate that's planning to come to Morro Bay. Inside, we're going to have great music. John and Mary Ellen Knoll, who have been playing for the St. Timothy's for years, are going to be presenting things. We're aiming for sing-alongs, Happy Trails to You, You Are My Sunshine, all of these things. And if you guys have your own meals planned, please pass the word on to anybody who may need a meal, because it's word of mouth. We haven't been the best at getting those paper flyers out. So pass the word, and if you can make it down, I'd love to see you.
Big question, are you going to have pumpkin pie?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you wouldn't just assume. Oh, wait a minute. That has connotations, but yes, definitely pumpkin pie, and people will be walking around with holsters full of the canned whipped cream, so everybody can have as much whipped cream as they want. So it'll be a great time, and again, I am so thankful for everybody who provides service to the city of Morro Bay, and you guys certainly do, and for that, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Great. Well, we'll move right on. Approval of the minutes of the October 21st meeting. Anybody have any comments, corrections, changes?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as stated.
Okay, is there a second?
Oh, you got me. I'll second them.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Old business, we have the director's report in front of us that we've all had a chance to look through. Does anybody have questions for Rob? Or comments?
My only comment, Rob, is that I really like this format. I like the way you're giving us information.
Thanks to Janine for helping us set that up. And it's much more readable, I think, than the tabular 6-point font format that we had before.
Yeah. I just wonder if you would, just for the sake of anybody who's watching television, and I'm always astounded when people come up and say they have been watching us. But so there are people out there. If you would just update us on what happened with the streets and the tree trimming. Somebody came up to me and wondered if we had storm damage because they noticed all of the trucks trimming the trees. And I thought maybe you'd like to share with us what you're doing.
Sure. We had planned on, this is a planned operation for tree trimming. What we didn't plan on was that PG&E would do their tree trimming coincidentally with ours. So you notice Davey Tree Service was in town cutting the nice Ys in the trees for the power lines. And then our contractor, Arbor First out of Morro Bay, we contracted with them to trim 148 trees in the downtown area to remove especially the heavy pods that collect this time of year. They haven't been trimmed in probably 5 years, so they're due for trimming. So 148 trees in the downtown. They'll be coming back and doing a few removals. There's a dead flowering yew on Beach Street that they'll be coming in to remove. And I think there's up in the north end of town, there's a couple of dead trees that they'll be removing also under that contract. While I have the floor, if I could highlight just a couple of items in our director's report that I would like to talk about. Water conservation. We've done a great job again in the month of October, reduction of, you know, almost 8 million gallons of water reduced from 2013, so a 22% reduction in our monthly water use. I mentioned the workshop coming up. There'll be a joint Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee City Council Workshop at 4 p.m. on December 1st. And I believe that venue is here at the Vets. It'll be on our calendar on our website where we've gone back and forth between the two venues. So it is on our website, the location. I met with the Citizens Bike Committee a week ago or so and went over some issues, still working on improvements to San Jacinto and Main Street to help with that after school commute area. Also, we are going to be installing 10 additional bicycle-friendly community signs throughout the town. We were awarded that from the League of American Bicyclists, that award of bicycle-friendly city. We're not quite up to the gold standard as San Luis Obispo got their new award. We're more of an entry-level bike-friendly city, but we want to publicize that, so we're adding some more signs. And then we'll be working with state parks to add a couple of Share the Road signs on lower State Park Road to just bring the attention that it is a well-frequented bike path. Then the last thing I wanted to talk about is being prepared for the winter rainy season. So the city staff, maintenance staff, has been cleaning storm drain inlets around town, doing some berm repairs where those have eroded over the years. But there are things that individual property owners can and maybe should do, cleaning of their gutters, making sure any of their internal storm systems are prepared and ready to go. Make sure that you have flashlights with fresh batteries in cases, because typically with heavy rains there's going to be a power outage sooner or later. If you are going to need sandbags, the city does not fill sandbags for the public. We provide a pile of sand, and bags are available at the hardware store. Miners is our local hardware store that stocks them. I think Oasis has them also, but any of the local hardware stores have them. I, for my own personal use, bought a product for in front of my garage door. It's a long tube, basically, with a gel that expands when it gets wet, because I have a downsloping driveway at my house. Who would have thought a civil engineer would have bought a house with a downsloping
driveway? Never build in a hole.
Yeah. Luckily, it continues downslope behind me, too. But we do get wet in front of our garage door, so I bought one of those. I think it's Flood Dams. I got it on Amazon, and it just seemed a lot easier than filling and stacking sandbags. Especially for my wife, when she gets out there to do that.
Rob, where's that pile of sand located?
It's located across the street from our courtyard at about 160 Atascadero Road. Okay. But we would like, I think we're going to find another spot, maybe a couple spots to have sand piles, because if you forget to get your sand bags filled and we have a flooding situation, you may not be able to get to 160 Atascadero Road. So we're looking for a couple of upland areas to make some sand available there. And I think the guys are looking at fabricating some sandbag filling. They're pieces of pipe that help you fill the sandbag a little bit easier, that you can put in the pipe and fill a sandbag. So hopefully we'll put those out there too. I put the Be Prepared brochure or flyer in your packet that has some helpful hints, like making sure that you have plenty of fresh water, fill the bathtubs, the sinks to maintain that water. Also, your hot water heater usually contains, as long as you don't have an instant hot water heater, a tank might contain as much as 50, 75 gallons, depending on how many teenagers you have at home and how long a shower is that you need. So that's also a good hint. We do have a little bit of information about the cleaning of creeks. Most, if not all, of the creeks that run through Morro Bay are on private property. The city does not go onto private property to clean those creeks. We will, if a bridge is impacted or a culvert is impacted, pull that material out, but we can't go onto private property, and we don't have the proper permits from California Fish and Wildlife to do that. With that, if anybody has any questions about...
I wondered, is there still money available for water conservation rebates through the city?
Yes, there is. It's been a very attractive program, but we still have money available. Okay. And there's the state program also that gives you that little extra added incentive to, in fact, I think it's the grass removal is quite a bit better than the city's program. So there's both the state and the city program. We have a link on our website to the state documents. I think Deborah has attempted to fill out those forms.
Let me just add a little color to that experience. I did go on there, and I did try to upload my photos and my documents and everything, and it says that it was accepted, but it doesn't look like it went anywhere, so I don't know. I had to regain my composure and try to attempt it for another day. But I did want to talk about the website, and Kay was so wonderful in helping me, because you get to a point in there and it asks you a bunch of questions, and then it says, who is your water agency? And I said, well, I don't know. We get water from the state of California. We get water from underground. I don't know. So Kay was trying to help me. And as it turns out, there's a scroll of about, I don't know, 50 counties and cities throughout the state of California that all have water agencies, and I couldn't find anything that would relate to the Central Coast or to Morro Bay. So, but at the very, very top, it says not listed, and that's who we are. We are not listed. So that's very cool to know. I also wanted to just say that good timing on the tree trimming with the winds. It doesn't necessarily have to be rain. The winds have been really awful. And I wanted to also ask about, on page 7, that this selected the program management software and entered into a software agreement with Procore. I'm not familiar with Procore, and I didn't know exactly what software agreement, what their services were providing to us.
So Procore is a company...
Thank you, Nancy. Procore is a company that provides a software solution for managing very large projects. So it allows us to for document control. So if we are routing a document for many comments on it, it will track who's commented on it so far, what the comments they've made. It allows us to track budget. When we get into construction, it'll be our package that we track RFIs or requests for information, make sure that we've responded, our change orders, our budget, our schedule will all be in there. It has a simple schedule version. Probably we will be using Microsoft Project, but it allows us to import Microsoft Project files into it and have a more user-friendly display of those projects. It's basically for our project management team to use to manage the large water reclamation facility project is what the intent is. We could use it for our smaller CIPs, but it's way overkill for a few hundred thousand dollar slurry sealing project. We would use something like an Excel spreadsheet, or if we wanted an online solution, there's much more reasonable and doesn't take the 8 days of training to be able to navigate through Procore.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's for our water reclamation facility project. It's meant for large scale, you know, multi tens of million dollar projects to manage.
Any other questions for Rob?
I do. Okay. Real quick, it talks about the metering vault removal and blending valve replacement at the wastewater treatment plant. And I assume you're removing the metering vault. Are they going to replace it with something to...
Yes, we will...
I assume it's to try and get a better...
Better accurate flow, okay. Flow metering.
It,
yeah.
It read half of yeah. it, and I didn't see the other half. Have you ever worked with Pacific Coast Excavation?
No, I not oh. personally, no.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And then the blending valve is the valve that we blend primary and secondary effluent oh. to for our 301H waiver discharge. We don't use it very often.
Well, I knew the metering side of it through WRFCAC was yes. something that we were trying to get a better handle on, and it seems like you're doing it at least the removal portion.
Yes.
And I just wanted to make sure it followed through. Thank you.
Any others? I just wanted to mention that I noted in here that we are in the middle of the shutdown of the state water. And folks out there might notice a difference in the water or not, but can you tell us when we'll be back on state water?
Thank you for mentioning that. The state water shutdown this year was October 30th, and we're told we're going to go back on state water this coming Monday. So we will shut down our desal plant probably on Tuesday after our sampling and then go back to more routine state water operations with a once-a-week startup of our desal plant for testing purposes only. So the water does have a different taste to it because we change our disinfection product when we run local water. We go from chloramines, which is what the state water project uses, to free chlorine, which is what we do locally. So we'll go back to chloramines, which probably doesn't have the what you would consider a chlorine taste to it that you might taste now.
But you don't taste the algae blooms.
Exactly, or smell them.
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah, I think it's cooled off enough right. that we're not having that algae problem anymore. That's usually a summertime low flow condition when it's really hot in the valley. They grow good algae.
I've actually had several people mention to me that they've noticed the water has improved in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah.
And we'll go back on state water and we'll get to experience what the new taste is like.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments or questions for Rob? Okay. Well, thank you very much for the information.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to new business. Do we have a presentation? We're going to talk about the expanded polystyrene regulation ordinance that you have been drafting. So
yes, and Janine Burlingame will lead us through that discussion.
Thank you, and good evening. In September, back in September 8th, the City Council had this item on their agenda to discuss an informational memorandum that the City Attorney had prepared and that Rob had brought forward. Discussing the whether or not and to what extent the City Council may want to create some regulation regarding expanded polystyrene, also known as white foam, styrofoam, polystyrene. And at that meeting, there was a motion to approve moving forward with an ordinance. And the council had identified particular components they wanted to include based on information that was provided from some research that the City of San Luis Obispo had done when their council was considering this year to enact similar regulation. And they had identified that over 80 cities and counties in California have enacted some type of regulation focusing on restricting the use of food and drink containers made from expanded polystyrene, as well as some agencies going a little bit further and prohibiting the retail sale of particular expanded polystyrene products like foam plates, packing peanuts, and the foam coolers, the ones that are not contained in a hard cased type of plastic. And the reason, three of the main reasons cited for doing this type of regulation were environmental impacts, potential health effects, and then there were some that had the potential for recycling opportunities to divert additional material from the landfill. And what the council had done after their discussion, they wanted staff to draft an ordinance and come back at some point to them after there's been some reach out to the potential businesses that would be affected by such legislation, getting some input from them, particularly on one aspect that they wanted to include, which was that the city of San Luis Obispo had also included, which was what they called an undue hardship and exemption. And that exemption would allow for a one-year delay in when the ordinance would come into effect for them in order to transition them out of the material that they have and financially be able to get them to the point where they can transition to the new materials that they would need to acquire. And particularly they wanted some information about that percentage, what the business community felt would be an acceptable percentage to qualify for that hardship. Some of the other components that the council wanted to include in the ordinance was to include expanded polystyrene food containers, the food and drink containers. They did not want to include at this point in time the food serviceware, so utensils, cups, lids, straws, and those items down the road might be something to add in, but at this point in time it's not something that they were interested in including at this point. They also wanted to include the retail sale of expanded polystyrene products, as well as to include an in-lieu-of-fine program. So what that would entail is if a business, after the period where, before the actual date where we start to implement it, we have some education out to the businesses, get them give them an appropriate period of time for transitioning to using up their old materials and acquiring new materials. And rather than right off the top, if you come out and somebody finds that you are in violation of the ordinance, that you're dinged right off the bat, you are given notice about the ordinance, you're given an opportunity to cure, and then later if it's found that you're still in violation, the in-lieu program would be, instead of paying a fine to the city in whatever that dollar amount is, what they would do is they would turn around, use that same dollar amount to purchase the alternative products that they would need, and then show proof to the city that they did that. So the council wanted to include that in with an ordinance that would come to them for consideration as well. So all of these components are things that the city of San Luis Obispo's ordinance had included. And since they had already gone through this, it has the components that the council was interested in including. Staff felt that it was appropriate and beneficial to utilize their ordinance as the template for the one that we would bring forward for the council to consider. That ordinance is attached, that draft language is attached in attachment 2 of your staff report.
I'm sorry, Janine, chapter 8-17, mm-hmm. That is SLO's ordinance. That's not moral based.
No, the numbering system is the city's system.
Okay, so this is what you're putting out as a draft.
As a draft for the Morro Bay ordinance, correct. And so what the city did was we prepared an informational handout and survey that you'll see in attachments 3 and 4 of the staff report. And these were mailed out to potentially affected businesses to provide some information about what the council's recent decision in September was, letting them know that there was this potential for regulation to occur and a draft ordinance that they could go and review online, and included in with that was the survey to get some information back from them about do they currently use expanded polystyrene, or do they use alternative products at this point in time? If they do use alternative products, what was the percentage increase in cost to them? That would also help us to try to gauge it for that undue hardship percentage. And some other follow-up questions, like if they do the food service, giving some open-ended questions if they had concerns about any potential regulation that would be adopted and what those might be. And so at the time that the staff – back up. So that was mailed out in early November to potentially affected businesses. And an online survey was created that would make it easier for them to also provide that information. At the time the staff report was written, we had 9 responses that were submitted. And before you came in this evening, I handed out some additional information. We had 5 more surveys turned in since last week. So we have a total of 14 surveys that have been returned so far. And those are the results from the individual questions that were asked in that.
May I interrupt just for a minute and ask how many you sent out so we get a sense of what proportion?
There were about 80 surveys that were sent out.
Really? Okay.
And what we did was we took information from our business licensing program, and we were able to filter by restaurant, grocery store, gas station, some other retail to try to get that list to be those who would be affected by some type of regulation like this. And so what I had wanted to do was follow up after this time with those who I had not heard from yet, received a survey, to see if they had gotten the information, to talk to them about it, and then to kind of ask the questions and fill out the survey with them there. And Stu has graciously offered to help with that follow-up reach out and get additional information from the businesses we haven't heard from yet so that we can have as much of that input from the businesses that we can bring to the council when this does go to them. And originally this was scheduled to come to the council at their December 8th meeting, but earlier this week I got word that this item is being rescheduled to their January 26th meeting. And so what that does is it gives us an opportunity, a little bit more time to be able to get that input back from the potentially affected businesses and have more of that available for the council for the specific things like the undue hardship percentage, which was something that they were interested in. So with that, and I haven't talked with Rob yet about it, but there is a Public Works Advisory Board meeting the week prior to that, and what we can do is bring the item back with all of that additional survey input and have, you know, continued discussion of the item, have additional opportunity for public input on that item before it would go to council and their meeting on January 26th. So a couple of items, one that I've already mentioned that are in the proposed ordinance that we just wanted to have a little bit of discussion on. One was the undue hardship exemption, specifically the percentage that would qualify a business for being able to postpone for a year, basically, the implementation of the ordinance. In the survey responses, there was a question that asked if the council were to adopt an ordinance and include a undue hardship exemption, what did they feel was an appropriate percentage to qualify for that? And there were only 4 responses so far of the 14 that had responded, and 25%, so one had responded 10% or less, 50% or 2 respondents said between 11 and 15%, and 25% or 1 respondent indicated between 26 and 30%. So that was one item. The other is the inclusion of non-city-sponsored events in this ordinance for prohibiting the use of the expanded polystyrene food containers. The Slo City ordinance had that our council in 2008, I believe it was, had adopted a resolution where the city departments were prohibited from using city funds to purchase these types of products for use internally, as well as for city-sponsored events. And we were to encourage those who were the non-city-sponsored events to use alternative products, but it wasn't a requirement at that point. So staff felt that this is, you know, given that the council had already made the adoption with the resolution for internally for the city departments, that they were wanting to move forward with some type of regulation for the food containers and the retail sales, that it just seemed appropriate to include the non-city sponsored events in with that. So that was another item that was included that you may want to have some discussion on whether to continue to keep in or remove. And then I just had included in here a little bit something about the effective date. It doesn't really talk about that in the ordinance. But the city of San Luis Obispo, what they did was have a six-month period of time from when their ordinance was finally adopted before it would go into effect. And this was to give enough time to provide education and promoting out to the businesses who are affected that this was going to be occurring, and giving them an appropriate period of time in order to transition out of the products that they currently have that would be under the prohibition, use those up, and then transition into the alternative products that they would be needing to use starting with the implementation date. And I didn't really include it here, but I did mention it briefly about I guess, a sort of enforcement. And the ordinance would use the administrative citation aspect that we currently have adopted in our municipal code. And what we do there is, as I mentioned earlier, if someone is found to be in violation of the ordinance, they would be notified of that and basically be given, just put on notice that here's the ordinance, here's what it says, here's where you're in violation, and give them an opportunity to cure that. So we wouldn't start right off the bat if somebody was in violation, instituting a fine for that. So I wanted to point that out a little bit. So it's not, hey, the first day this is going, you might be hit with something. So with that, what I'd like to do is turn it over to the board for any questions or comments you may have, and then take public comment. And as I mentioned, and something you may want to direct staff is that we can come back in January before the council's January 26th meeting to provide you with additional information that we get from the follow-ups with the businesses that we haven't heard from so far. And with that, I'll turn it over to Harlan.
Thank you, Janine. Questions from the board for Janine? Do you want to start?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you. How many of these surveys did you say you sent out? About 80. I'm kind of disappointed in the response, although it seems to be very positive that we're all thinking, you know, environmentally and everything like that. I do like the idea of the consistency of the ordinance. I just saw that PISMO, their board just passed an ordinance, or their council just passed an ordinance for the same thing just last night. It's always good, especially in a small community, where everybody's on the same page. It's not like you travel to one town, you can, and another town, you can't. So I like that. I do have a question about the delaying of the instituting this policy or this ordinance. I like the way that the city of San Luis has just delayed the whole thing 6 months. And then 6 months, we're all in. I think that put to bed the policing and having to have people go around and go, oh, we found a paper cup in front, you know, a styrofoam cup in front of your, you know, that kind of thing. Nobody likes that. And I feel that if we all start at the same time, then there can't be anybody who didn't get it or understand. I mean, we all hear rules and laws that start in January 1st. Starting January 1st, you can't drive your car, blah, blah, blah. We all know those laws and we abide by them. And I'm not trying to be hardcore about this, but I really think that we all know this was coming. It's just like the no smoking ordinance. I mean, we all know that
we're headed this way and this is going to be happening. So I don't think it should be a surprise to any businesses. And I don't really have any questions. I'm just saying that I like the ordinance consistency, and I think that a delay that we're going to go back a year later and see if these folks have complied is just not practical. That's all from me.
All right. Jan.
Yes, I am. Even though we have just a few people have responded, it's encouraging to see that many people are already using not using styrofoam, and I like that. I agree with Deborah that we should the policy should be consistent from city to city so that we don't have one rule here and one rule there. But I was wondering why on you're talking about maybe not requiring people who are from outside on non-city sponsored events would not have to comply with this. Is that what I understood?
No, we were what we would do is be including them in the prohibition. Right now, the non-city sponsored events, and I don't know if Rob knows one offhand, but they would not be. Right now, their vendors who come to those events could use styrofoam products. So we wanted to include in the ordinance that those vendors would now need to use the alternative products.
Good. I was going to say that's what I think. Because how you prohibit it for somebody and allow it for somebody else.
Yeah, most events are non-city sponsored. Like the Avocado Margarita Festival is not a city sponsored event.
That's good to know.
The last year's 4th of July celebration was a city sponsored event. And those are two examples of a non-city sponsored and city sponsored. I think the Christmas tree lighting is a city sponsored. We only have a couple cities totally sponsored events. One thing that I've been thinking of in consideration is the affordability and how to gauge that. I have a difficult time thinking that if a clamshell styrofoam container, I'm going to make up numbers because I don't know what the exact cost of these, mm-hmm. are 9 cents a unit, and it doubles in price to 18 cents a unit, does that make it not viable for a business to do that? Is that a major expense in their overall operation? So I don't know that the price of the product should dictate with the affordability. I think it how it affects their overall business. If it went from, 9 cents to $9 a unit, yes, maybe. But I don't think we're talking that order of magnitude with these alternative products. Just something for your consideration.
And then, why are they talking about not including straws, cup lids, and utensils? Is that, again, because are they more recyclable, like plastic lids? Are they easier to recycle than styrofoam?
That I'm not aware of. I wasn't at the council meeting where they had that discussion, so I don't know if Rob remembers.
This was just on one of the options.
Right, but I don't know if you remember what that part of the discussion, if it was just that they didn't want to include everything at this point.
I think that was more the case. They didn't want to include everything now.
Yeah. And then it also says that Carpinteria included that each food provider file a signed certification indicating they're aware of the ordinance and will comply with it. And that's to be done at the beginning of each year. So I think that's a good idea because then you can monitor. It seems like it would be easier to monitor who's complying.
I don't know if Rob and I had this discussion or someone else on staff and I talking about our business license. Every year the business licenses get renewed, and maybe that's the opportunity to include something in with that has that statement like you're talking about that they submit in return so we have that.
Okay, that's it for now. I might come back with another.
Actually, I got quite a few. But
first
of all, the... I applaud this. I think it's a good idea. I think the city should implement this. But it's always the devil in the details when you pass ordinances, because are they enforceable? We have a lot of ordinances on the book, many of them it gets somewhat sporadic in my mind how well they get enforced. I know you guys are going through trying to set up a code compliance officer and such. But I kind of want to make it, for me, clear in my mind what's allowed, what's not allowed, because you have a lot of people. This is a tourist town, and people come here and they don't know your rules. They may from Pismo, but that's not the tourist here. The tourist in Pismo stay in Pismo. It's usually a Central Valley or somewhere else that is visiting our town. So I kind of want to be real careful in how we go about this. First of all, with the hardship, and I agree with you, Rob. I don't even understand the hardship quotient. If one business has to pay 18 cents for a clamshell, the other guy should have to pay 18 cents because then you even out the field. I do think it's important to give a leeway of time into it, and I would suggest if you pass this somewhere in February, you push it out to the end of Labor Day, because that gives the people the ability to use up their stock and supply on hand. And I think nothing worse for me than to see a bunch of new styrofoam cups being sent off to the landfill in the trash, not used. I mean, that's the whole point of why we're trying to get away from styrofoam. So I'd say a decent lead time without the hardship quotient side of it, because everybody pays that. I mean, whatever the business is, everybody's stuck having to pay that bill, so to speak. When you said non-sponsored events, that was interesting because I wasn't sure what was sponsored and what was non-sponsored by the city. I worry a little bit when you have some little car club come in and put a bunch of Ford F-100s out at Tidelands Park or something like that, and they show up once every 5 or 6 years, and they have no clue what's going on here. But for people that are in the city, have business permits with the city, you've got to know your ordinances that relate to the work you do. And I think it's important for the city, if you do give out specialty permits at the time that they come in for special events, right on there it says your vendors shall not use these things, then they've been forewarned, and I have little sympathy with that aspect of it. But I also don't want to create a situation where the police have a tough time trying to enforce any kind of ordinance. So that's why I always kind of like to make clear-cut things, not the discretion of the city manager to allow a hardship or something along those lines, because that's when things get real fuzzy real quick. And that's usually when people get pissed off because they felt they've been unfairly treated with relation to the next person down the road. You talked a little bit about, the effective date of about 6 months. That's probably fine. I don't know how fast they go through their stock of supplies, because I assume those are usually go cups or the kind of thing you give people when they leave the establishment, the doggy bag, so to speak, these clamshells, whatever. It may be longer. I would probably suggest shooting after Labor Day, because that's usually the tourist season. And it'll probably be 6 months by the time this thing probably gets passed and approved. And the only thing else I wondered about was I wanted to be real clear on the fact that we're only talking about businesses selling styrofoam. If you catch a guy from Fresno down at the beach with a styrofoam surfboard, you don't want to be jerking these people around. I'm sorry. That's the thing I want not to happen as part of this. You also have construction industry that uses styrofoam as rigid foam insulation. And it's usually something that's durable in the sense it's put into a wall and may be there for the next 20, 50 years. I want to make sure this ordinance precludes it. It appeared to, based on the one you wrote up. I saw something about Title 14. I don't know Title 14 personally.
That's the building code.
In either case, if that's fine, that's fine with me, because there's a lot of products out there that may not be encapsulated. Say, like the coolers that have the plastic on the outside, like rigid foam insulation. I want to make sure it's very clear in the ordinance that these things are excluded, because they are useful products. The problem with the product is when it becomes a disposable sense, which brings me to the next one. And that's the fact. You have two reasons why you don't want the polystyrene based on our staff report here. One is the fact that it could affect your foods with some chemicals getting into it if you have warm foods in it. And the second one is the landfill issues and the fact that it's hard to clean up. And I get half of that on the raw meat side, but I wasn't quite sure why you were excluding, you know, say the supermarkets from how they lay a steak. I didn't understand why that was being excluded, or is there not an alternative product that they could use for that purpose? That's something I did want to ask more as a question than an observation.
Typically, that stuff is packaged not in here.
Oh,
they
really?
Get it shipped to them in a...
So it's coming from the outside. And quite frankly, the city could never know what's in a box in a store. It's going to be packed. And it may be styrofoam packaging that they use inside. So I can understand why you went.
But there are alternatives, like, you know...
But there's a lot of meats that are wrapped in the store.
Paper, that's what I was just going to say.
No, I've seen them do it in the styrofoam and the plastic wrap, but like an Albertsons or something like that. I just wasn't sure why you were going there. I think I understand why a lot of their foods may come in pre-butchered, so... And I think that's it for me. I just want to make sure at the end of the day when this ordinance is written, it's something, A, you can enforce, and B, it's consistent so people don't feel they're being unduly. And I'm not quite sure how you'll get clam chowder to go without that styrofoam bowl, but it'll be interesting.
Thank you. Okay, Dave.
Mainly, I'm echoing what's been stated on the board so far and agree with the fact that I feel that it's great and important how consistent this is with other cities in the county and how this can become universal throughout our county. Also consistent within the city from merchant to merchant and business to business. I also feel that you're giving a reasonable leeway for them to make that transition, which I think is fine. On the small return of respondents to the survey, it is encouraging, as you've mentioned, that a number of businesses, by a large margin, say they use alternative products rather than polystyrene. I do find it interesting, though, that very few of them cite environmental concerns for this, but rather simply categorized as owner or management preference. So while we tend to be doing this for the most part for the environment, it's funny that those people complying aren't really doing it for the sake of the environment.
Well, they might be.
They
that
may.
Might be because
that
that's
might
their
be
preference.
The preference, but they're choosing that answer rather than environmental. And then to the businesses that do have this and have received it and have not filled it out yet, where's my camera? Because I want to talk to you. Please fill it out and return it back to the city, because you do not want the ominous figure of Stu showing up at your business. It's terrifying.
Chris?
I agree with setting a hard date for the beginning and having it meet everybody. Just setting it off far enough to use up stock. I think some of the businesses that might be hurt more would be people who focus more on takeout. And I know they're keeping cups out of it, and I guess maybe that's more because of, like, the neighborhood liquor store maybe or something, if they're cycling through them so much more. They're the ones who would be hit a little bit more with it.
The straws and the lids.
The straws and lids are already plastic and recycled.
Oh, they are recyclable.
They're not styrofoam.
Yeah, so the styrofoam part would be more the cups themselves, mm-hmm. though it could be more the, if you're selling sodas, you have to purchase quite a bit more cups than if you're just a restaurant and it's for someone to go.
Right.
But I don't know if that's for us to address at this point. It sounds like council was wishing for that to be a future date item. I think I'm in agreement with a lot of you as well on this.
Thanks, Stu.
I just want to make sure we're clear. Cups are included. Styrofoam cups would be included in the ban.
Okay.
Yeah. All styrofoam. It's just when you're talking about plastic lids, we're not.
Plastic
part
lids
of
would not be included.
But A, they don't add chemicals to your drink or food, and they don't tend.
But there's other issues.
Yeah. Not that I know of.
Okay, my turn.
If you think back a decade or two ago, we fought with this CFC, chlorinated fluorocarbons, and the ozone hole disappearing over us, and which leads more sunlight in and so on. And we've since quit putting in CFCs in hairspray. We've eliminated most of it in paint and all the rest of this. We did that for a good reason. And they make expanded polystyrene with benzene. Benzene is a CFC. If you get in there and look at it, and there's a lot on the internet about it, both pro and con from the industry trying to sell us more cups made out of styrofoam. And it's in that same vein. If you roll forward a little bit, we went through the grocery bags, and there was a ruckus about grocery bags. And, you know, gosh, do I have to buy a grocery bag? You've got one there. Why don't you just give it to me? And we got through that okay, and now everybody is fine with it. My wife showed up with six new ones the other day, and I said, how much was that? That's a mute argument. So that's something that's part of where we are and part of being stewards of our planet, and which I'm an advocate for. The ozone layer is a big deal, and this balls floating around out in there, some of that sinks and some of it doesn't. And we've got a raft out in the middle of the ocean that is a couple of hundred miles wide and maybe 1,000 miles long that's floating. And it's this. And China and a lot of the other nations are trying to get a grip on what's happening and cut their use, too. The report goes through and talks about San Francisco and the ban they had on it, and it caused a 35% reduction on their beach, mm-hmm. which is great. And up the coast, I think Monterey showed a 50% reduction, or San Jose did. So it does work. And I think that as part of the program, we could come up with something where we give the merchants something to maybe stick on their little counter like we did with the bags. And say, you know, we support eliminating these cups or something cute on there. We support the environment. Don't put that on there. But the something that would notify their patrons that, you know, takeouts are available for a small fee. If you went to Cambria when the water was out, there was no free water in Cambria to drink at all. You bought it. And it had a little mark on the glass, and if you wanted more, they give you 8 ounces more and charge you for it, and that's an extreme thing to do. But I think signs would definitely help for the restaurants, and just educating the people. When you walk out to the rock, I see people walking out there with their containers, and some of them are styrofoam ice chest, and so on. I think you can nicely put something out there that says. Maybe like the dog poop thing, and maybe put a little note underneath it, not allowed. But there's many things we can do to educate the public and educate our merchants about what goes on, and it will clean up our environment, and we just have to work on that. I think that's enough. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, I certainly support the ordinance and agree completely with what you've done so far. My and for all of the reasons that have already been stated, and I also agree with including non-city sponsored events. I think the playing field should be level for everybody having a special event in our town. And also agree with the effective date. The only problem that I have is that there seems to be some confusion both with the business owners and in the ordinance itself between what the denominator is for the undue hardship, the economic impact. And I noted that in the survey, it implied 15% of total operating costs, but in the ordinance, it's some percent of the increase in the cost of the products that they have to buy. And those are two different denominators, huge difference in the economic impact on a business. I would be curious to know what the business what business owners would prefer. It seems to me that there are some businesses that if they do a lot of takeout, maybe it could get up to, although I have no idea, I can't imagine it ever getting up to 15% of the operating costs, frankly. So I'm curious because I assume that was in the San Luis ordinance, and I'm curious what they used as a denominator, because a 15% increase in just the products that they have to buy to replace polystyrene, it would be an undue hardship for virtually all of the businesses because those products do cost more than 15%, up to 75% in the data that we were shown. So it's either one way or the other. And it seems to me that it would make more sense to make it as a percent of the products, but at the same time, that might impact some businesses that really rely heavily on takeout. Maybe that would be an undue burden. So I think at this point, I'm thinking that probably going back to some of the businesses and getting some more detailed information about this undue hardship clause and what is an undue economic hardship for different kinds of businesses might be helpful before the next meeting. So that's my comments. And I see we have a member of the public, so why don't we have open public comment and see what. So please come forward, state your name and address.
I'm Janine Ranz, and I'm from San Luis. And I started the slow foam free effort so that our county would be styrofoam free. Came from out of state, from Oregon, where from 1998, Portland had a ban on polystyrene. Polystyrene was started back in the 80s, like 85, and within a few years, Berkeley was the first city in the nation to have a ban, 1988, I believe their ban is. Portland followed soon thereafter. Because of the ocean and the beaches, and it's an obnoxious thing, people started realizing the effort of, or the influx of styrene to the environment. So I jotted down points here as you were discussing. As to cost, replacement alternatives, the same folks need to, and everybody here needs to, take into the cost of Cold Canyon Landfill. 2 years ago, they started looking for new land to expand their landfill. Nobody wanted to give land to expand. So they've continued to discuss that, and land is expensive in San Luis. Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to live next to it. So they've had lawsuits, and they've sent actually all of our green waste down to Santa Maria. So if you want to get free landfill, you have to actually go to Santa Maria to get it. So the cost of all of this expansion to dump our garbage, we need to actually take the cost of people saying, oh, I can't afford it. Those folks should say, I have to pay a higher fee because I'm using a product that's going to expand our landfill. Okay, this year, Governor Brown, and it was more like May or June. I don't have any documents because I came straight from Fresno today. He initiated I'm not sure if it's a law or a referendum, but 75% of our landfill in California now has to be recycled, compostable, and there's one other word that I can't remember. But 75% now has to, by 2020, be diverted into those categories. If we take a handle on getting rid of styrofoam, we will have already addressed a part of the landfill, because styrofoam that's got food waste on it has got to go to landfill. I just talked to Santa Cruz yesterday on the phone. There is no recyclable styrofoam in the whole area. There is one maybe down in Los Angeles. But anyway, so somebody apparently bought a machine to recycle styrofoam, but it broke down, and they haven't been able to get it working. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, so another point, City of San Luis has about 195 restaurants. They had a deadline of November 1 to for those restaurants to apply for a hardship. One restaurant applied, and it was granted. Unbelievable. It was Margie's Diner. No more. Oh, say. Santa Cruz initiated the ban in 2012. They said they've noted a 90% reduction in their litter of styrofoam. They're, as you know, the facts do that. Grocery stores like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, they've already eliminated styrofoam. There's a little bit of styrofoam in meat, chicken, that is still in Trader Joe's, but they have started to ban and replace that. Remember also, Stephen, eating out of styrofoam is you're just consuming styrene and benzene in your food. And Helding, he said, even holding styrofoam, the warmth of your hands, you start to melt the styrene into your body. One more point to conclude. The beach doesn't know which city it's in. We need to have this go countywide. And so last night, we presented to Paso Robles, and pretty sure that it'll be gone. And very exciting that Pismo Beach took care of it. So thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. Okay. What would you like
you
to do? Yeah, I'll close public comment, yes. Thank you.
I am having a little difficulty with this hardship situation because I've been in business my whole life, too, and you know, when prices go up, you just pass it on to the consumer. When I show up at Albertsons and I forgot my bag because I ran in there real quick, I pay 10 cents. It's like Stu says. I mean, you know, if you don't have to take your food home. I mean, you know, sit there and finish it. Enjoy the view. I mean, I don't get the hardship thing. And Marla said, I don't know how much of a hardship it could be. I mean, out of your business, how many styrofoam cups do you pass out? Unless you're like a bakery and you're passing out coffee like to everybody in town every morning. I mean, that could probably be, and like you said, with the gas stations that do a lot of sodas and stuff like that. But they just, in business, you just pass it along. You just say, well, you know, I have to pay extra. Or you ask the public to come in and say, if you want to take this out, you're going to need to pay, we're going to need to tack on an extra 15 cents to your bill. Okay, load me up. That's all.
So you would be opposed, you would eliminate the hardship provision?
Yes, I would. Okay. Because only one person out of 195 restaurants asked for it.
Jan? Did you have anything? And remember, we want to give some direction to staff, right. So we need to talk about what kind of a recommendation we might want to make for staff.
Okay, I'm going to recommend that they implement this ban, and I think that for all the reasons we talked about earlier, I think that if it's going to be implemented, it should be implemented for everybody. I don't think it should have this person exempt or because you're out of the city, you get to have special privileges. I don't think so. And I have a question. I was interested in the grocery stores, the meat, the styrofoam things that meats come in. And you said that Trader Joe's. So that would be another thing. If cities, as these meat packers become more aware that cities are banning this, wouldn't they be making these changes all so that pretty soon you would not have it at all in the grocery stores? Because they have to stay in business, too. But anyway, I think, and I also am confused about the hardship thing. It was confusing when I was reading it, but like everybody said, it can't be 15% of their profits. It's got to be the cost of materials, and if only one person out of 194, one business objects, it seems like it would not be anything to even to worry about. Just say that you're going to do this. And I think, but anyway, so that's it. I think it should be implemented. I think it should be implemented equally for all businesses, and I don't know if it should include the hardship ban.
That's okay. I feel like we're preaching to the choir now. I think yeah. everybody up right. here is in agreement that polystyrene, you know, could and should be avoided for sale in the city. I want to be real careful, though. I think there was three things Janine brought up, and I'll address those as what direction towards city council. One was the hardship quotient. I'm not for a hardship plan because the reality is when you're in business, everybody has to pay that same amount. If you sit there and start exempting people, then does it become a cronyism or favoritism system where somebody gets a slack? It's only for a year, I realize that, so it wouldn't go on ad infinitum. But for me, as Deb brought out, you do pass that cost on, but everybody's passing that cost on. So at the end of the day, the price of clam chowder just went up. You just live with that aspect of it. As to non-city sponsored events, I really don't have a problem, especially when there are people that are here year after year, and there's a lot of those that happen, as long as you guys make very aware to the person when they pull the permit for that thing that their vendors have to comply with this rule. I do not like trying to train, you know, everybody coming in through the state because the rules are different. I'm sorry, polystyrene's a legal product in the United States. It is in California right now. It's not something that's unlawful to own or to have. And I don't want it to turn into that. Now, whether the city wishes to stop selling it here, every right in the world. And that's where I stand on that. So I would like to see an ordinance that doesn't jerk people around who happen to have, you know, polystyrene. They walked in from some other city and happen to have a cup in their hand. They're getting played around on that. But I think you will find a big reduction just in the fact it's not sold in this town. And once you do that, 95% of your problem goes away. But at the end of the day, we're still a tourist community, and that's to be gracious host. On the effective date, I think that was the last one you brought up, Janine, about when that. And for me, I do not know how much they stock this stuff in advance, but I think it's fair to say I'd like to see them use what they have, because at the end of the day, it's going to wind up in the landfill, whether it got used or unused. So I'll leave that to you and your census of the different, you know, businesses trying to find out. I would hope to say probably push it through the cycle of the next tourist season, which usually around here ends around Labor Day, and it'll probably be 6 months anyway by the time you get this thing passed into ordinance. Other than that, I don't want to see polystyrene illegal in the city of Morro Bay. It just won't be sold here, and that's what I'm driving at, because to have or to hold it or to own it or anything else, that can get very burdensome for the police department, for the city staff, trying to enforce those kind of ordinances. Thank you.
Dave.
I certainly agree in moving forward with this program, and that's something that needs to be done here in Morro Bay. And I do feel, as it's been mentioned, that it's imperative that it is as consistent as possible for merchant-to-merchant, business-to-business.
Chris.
I think anything I could say is already kind of been said, so I'll just pass it to Stu.
Not much. It's just how do we pay for the policing and who does it and so on, and I imagine that's something we can work out internally. But I think the businesses will pretty much police themselves. You know, I don't give it out because, you know, we're here at the ocean and so on, and they've already, the ones that I have traded at that are close in North Morro, Taco Temple, they charge 25 cents for that little aluminum foil boat, and they'll package it for you. The pizza parlor over there, he's already gotten off the styrofoam. He's got cardboard, whatever that stuff is, and that's going to happen for us. And let's not burden our merchants with with a lot of extra stuff, but let them know that maybe here's a little sign, which I'm an advocate of, so everybody is on the same boat, and this is why we're doing it. If you've got a question, it's on the city website. And by the way, sign up on the city website. And I think that will put a lid on everything. Thank you.
Okay. Well, as I understand it, really the only issue that we might have then concerns this undue economic burden on the businesses. And it seems to be reasonable, since you are going to be contacting them again and hopefully getting more input from them, that possibly you could try to find out what would they prefer seeing as a percent of their overall operating costs or as a percent of the increase in the cost of the products. Those are two very different things, and I'm not sure which one San Luis used, but you might want to also check on that. But I think there should be an undue economic phrase in there, partly because I think the council asked to have that in there. And if it's true that very few people are going to take advantage of it anyway, why not at least have it there in case there is a business or two in town that it actually is? It's only for a year. I can't imagine that it's going to have a large impact on the ordinance itself. So that's my position on it, but we need a recommendation.
I guess my question to staff is, the recommendation you're looking for tonight, is it on the ordinance as a whole, or is it merely on the three items you brought up, Janine, regarding the hardship quotient, the non-city-sponsored events, and the effective dates?
Those were just kind of little highlights of some of the things that... One, the undue hardship, the percentage, that wasn't included in, so a discussion of that. The non-city events, that was something that was not in, or that was in the slow ordinance, but that was not something that the council had specifically addressed, so that was something that was different that we wanted to highlight. And then the effective date is not really part of the ordinance, but wanted to have that as part of the discussion, because that is something I think businesses would have a concern with. I want to be able to use up the product that I do have and be able to have a reasonable amount of time to transition to something new. Since the council is not going to be hearing this item on December 8th, as was originally intended, and it's been rescheduled to January 26th, the board tonight, we can just take the comments that you have so far. You don't have to take any other further action, and then we would bring this back at your January meeting with the additional information that we have from the businesses regarding the undue hardship, regarding the ordinance, rest of the ordinance language in general. And then at that point, you can have a little bit more discussion with that and then make a recommendation to the council.
How long has this polls been out to the city?
It has not been out very long. Oh, so okay. Actually, with 14 responses in roughly a week and a half.
Okay, so this is fairly recent.
Fairly recent.
Okay,
so
that makes sense. If you put it out 3 months ago, I'd say you're not going to see a 100 more.
And that's why I wanted to do follow up phone calls, because originally the time constraint was being a little short, and wanted to follow up if we hadn't heard from businesses to get that information. So now this is just providing us with a little bit more time to be able to do that. So that we can get as much information from the businesses as possible.
Would it be okay to call for a voice vote if we wish to continue this item as opposed to doing it tonight? Because honestly, for me, I can make my decision tonight. But
did they decide that we're continuing?
No, it's our choice to continue or not.
Yeah. Yeah, would you make a motion to continue it to the next meeting until we have more input?
I'd like to discuss whether we really feel we need to continue.
That's what I was trying to find out.
I think we're all pretty clear that we're in agreement.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're pretty clear we're in agreement. I think we're going to find out that a lot more of the businesses already have switched. Because I can think of maybe only a few on my hand that I go to that I still get Styrofoam product. But it would be good to get the information at our next meeting. I have a feeling we kind of can all probably move it along.
My feeling was I was trying to get a feel of trying to craft a motion to make a recommendation tonight, but I kind of wanted to know where everybody stood, because from what I heard up here tonight, most people had no use for the hardship quotient except for you, Marlis. And part of that is what she wishes to bring back. So I guess the question in my mind is, I don't want to put that motion out there if there are qualms of other people still on the fence about whether there should be a hardship quotient.
Well, I don't really think we're going to be hearing anything that is really going to radically change my mind.
I'd agree, too. But yeah, that, I mean, we're two. There's seven on the board.
Well, unless, of course, the city council, did they ask that there be a hardship?
That was one of the items that they did want included.
That's what I thought.
The percentage of that, I think,
right.
was
the issue.
Only potential question.
They're looking for that. So I think, you know, we ought to follow their direction and really get more information.
And your point was well taken, is that because it's in there, if somebody takes it, it's not going to be that big
I don't
deal.
Think it's going to be a big deal at all.
Most people have already converted anyway, so.
Right. The only issue is what that language should be, mm-hmm. because that's going to apply, and people are going to read it, and they're going to act on that basis. So it is important to come up with something that seems to be reasonable and that the businesses can accept. So that's why I think it's a good idea, especially since there is no urgency to make a decision mm-hmm. tonight to actually continue it. To our next meeting when you have more input?
Since we're early in the evening, it's the only thing on our agenda. I'd like to find out on the other two where people stand, because there is some
sure.
dissension over the hardship quotient.
Okay.
On the non-city-sponsored events, does anybody hear, from what I heard from everybody, they seem they should be included along with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Is that
yes.
pretty? Okay.
Right.
And then the last one was the effective date. They were trying to put a time frame out there. What was it, 6 months, Janine?
Yeah. Correct.
Oh, okay. Do you feel that that's I don't know how much the stuff they stocked. Did you get the feel from any of them that seemed like a reasonable time frame for them to go through their existing stock?
Well, what we were doing is just using what the city of SLO has as their start date from when their ordinance was adopted.
Okay.
If we're going to be doing some continued reach out to the businesses, that can be kind of a follow-up. It wasn't specifically in the survey, but the type of business, if you're primarily a takeout place, you might have more of this material than a sit-down restaurant where
I'm worried more about the sit-down restaurants because they put a lot less out of it. To me, I see somewhere between 6 months and a year. I don't see this going out beyond a year. There's no point, you know, in my mind. Nobody stocks up that much stuff generally when you're doing this kind of business. And if that's something you'd like to bring back at the next one, because we're going to, it sounds to me like we'll probably continue the item based
right.
on the hardship clause portion of it.
Well, and also, SLO has already done this. Have they already implemented it so that we have some basis of understanding if 6 months is a reasonable amount of time?
Their ordinance becomes effective January 1. They had final adoption of their ordinance in July.
Okay.
So it's a year, basically, from when they
adopt. No, 6 months.
6 months.
6 months.
It adopts. I'm sorry, January
okay.
1st. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. And they only had one person apply for the hardship.
Yes.
All right. I think that's a good basis of understanding kind of what the experience is likely to be. I also noted that they didn't have very many people respond to their survey either, and they have way more businesses than we have here in Morro Bay. So it sounds almost like it's not that big an issue to the businesses.
Right.
That's the takeaway that I got on this. But I think it's wonderful to reach out and to really show we've really tried, you know, to make this compatible with where they're at. So thank you. So a motion now.
Okay. I'll motion to continue this item to the, which meeting would it be? The January
17th 20th,
or something?
20th, I think.
What is it?
January 20th, I believe.
The January 20th meeting.
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thanks. All right.
And that'll dovetail with another item that we'll bring you probably on trash.
Oh, good. Well, as we've just said, we have no meeting in December, so I would certainly like to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving and holiday season. And we'll see you in 2016.
Yeah.